stormy weather. The winds of change blew hot across our family. Days turned to months, months into years as we were swept up by whirling emotional storms. Rain, hail, vicious winds, and dirt devils as real as those that danced across the red desert landscape engulfed us as the town gossiped freely about my two-timing, skirt-chasing womanizer of a father. Mother seemed to be always in tears, especially when I'd see her at the Treadle sewing machine. She used it to make moccasins for us, or quilt blocks from the heaviest materials she could find, including the good parts from used-up overalls. In spring, the sheep were brought in to be lambed and sheared. Merle, being the baby of the family, she couldn't help much, but the rest of us tried to help Mother the best we could. When I was about 7 years old, Father rode up to me with his auburn horse that I longed to ride and said, "There's a Lee Buck sheep that's strayed off near the road. Go fetch it." Well, I jumped on my old gray mare and headed out, glad to have any excuse to not be in the vicinity of my father until I knew what kind of mood he was in. When I found the strayed buck sheep, I slid off the mare and secured it with a long rope and pulled the mare closer to me at the same time. Well, I was barefoot at the time. Footwear could be a nuisance when there were worn-out overall moccasins Mother had made. So, barefooted I was, as the mare suddenly stepped on my foot. "Get off!" I hollered, at the same time realizing that if I let go of the rope, the sheep might saunter away once again. As forcibly as I could, I pushed against the horse's front quarters, as my foot was snugly smashed into the desert sand by the horse's weight. "You stupid horse, get off my foot!" I yelled. But the old tired mare just put her head down to munch on some drying wheat grass that was growing by the side of the road. "Quit ignoring me! You hurt my foot!" I ranted at my gentle horse, till finally I got down on the ground and I pulled her shod hoof off my aching, scratched-up foot. Each spring we'd plant cedar posts across the Harris Wash to make a dam. We'd take a team of horses, picks and shovels, and dig a large pond to fill the water from the spring runoff into the canyons. And after that work, the real work began. "It's easier when Father helps," Lottie complained one day as we took countless trips to the muddy pond. We were filling our buckets with water to take back to the plants on our homestead. "Try not to spill any," Mother said as the water splashed my leg. I was trying to hurry. Sometimes an occasional rain cloud would scurry by. We'd run to the crops to check to see if the rain had blessed us with some much-needed moisture. When it did, we were very grateful. But at times we'd get a cloud burst, and we'd enjoy tromping through the mud to see how the crop fared through the downpour. We moved back to Escalante when Mother got so far along with the new baby we were getting. I loved living in Escalante. Mother had a nice garden where fresh vegetables and especially carrots and radishes and onions were ready for the pulling. They were especially tasty at night with hot bread out of the oven and milk with fresh cream mixed into it. One bright early morning, I heard Mother screaming, "Help me! Help me!" I ran to the barn where I found my mother lying all doubled up on the ground, groaning in pain. "What happened, Mother?" I asked, shaking uncontrollably, memories of Uncle Freeland flying through my frightened mind. "Orion, run and get someone. Run and get anyone he can find. Quickly. The calf kicked me in my stomach," Ma moaned. I shouted at Lottie, "Go take care of Ma!" And I set out to find a neighbor for help, and then headed to find Susan Heaps or the doctor. My old gray mare couldn't run like the wind anymore when I was trying to get the support we needed, but soon we had a ton of folks to help, including Grandmother. Freeland, Aft, and Barney entered the world August 1st, 1924, on a Friday, under a new moon. His birthstone was a ruby. At last, I had a most welcome brother. "I think I hear an automobile coming," I hollered as I ran to the front door.
"Hush, you'll wake the baby,"
Ms. Heaps warned, as my sisters followed my lead out into the yard. Grandfather's new black Ford seemed out of place driving down the rutted roads with wagons and carriages and men on horseback in the road. The headlights stared out at you like giant yellow lights in a dark night.
"That's scary," Lottie said.
"It's just Grandfather's car," I replied, realizing the girls hadn't seen it after dark before.
"Grandfather's scary," Lorene whispered,
stuck her very white thumb into her mouth. No, I told her. There's nothing to be afraid of. I bet grandmother's with him. Maybe they've brought something good to eat, I reasoned. I'm so grateful you named him after Freeland, grandmother exclaimed, looking down at my new 14-pound baby brother.
I can't understand why you named him after Afton, though, grandfather piped in, shaking his head in disbelief.
I have my reasons, mother replied. Well, if he's half as nice as Uncle Freeland, I'll be happy, I supposed, in my excitement of having a baby brother and not a fifth sister. How are we going to pack him around? Lottie asked. I've never seen such a big baby.
We'll manage, grandmother said, but your mother will need a lot of extra help with her stomach still ailing from that wretched calf kicking her.
Maybe we can get Maureen out for a month this fall, Ma replied. Perhaps Susan Heaps can fill in for a couple of weeks until Maureen can get herself up here, grandmother replied, as she comforted mother by patting her hand.
You can bring some of your fixings over, grandma, I begged. You make the best pie in the whole world.
You're always thinking of filling your stomach. I guess that's what growing boys do, though, grandfather said, laughingly.
We'll see about a home-cooked meal, grandmother responded, smiling as she headed out the door to climb into their nice car. I hope to own a nice car someday.
I'll help with the baby, Lorene chimed in, realizing that might be the easiest task to take on of all the back-breaking chores we did around the house and yard.
Can't understand why Afton ran off to Delta to sell sewing machines and phonographs right after Freeland was born, grandmother replied.
I should send the law after him, grandfather growled gruffly. It's a crying shame him acting like, well, I won't say what he's acting like out loud.
But we're married, mother cried. He said if I'd give him a divorce, he'd come back to me and the kids.
Mother said the shocking words, and everyone in the room reacted.
What? Grandfather yelled. That lying, two-timing son of mine.
He'll never come back, grandmother said, catching her voice. I just don't know what gets into some men nowadays.
Why are you staying with him?
Grandfather asked, his voice flat.
I don't know what to do, and I don't know where to go. And I still care for him, mother stated softly.
Having heard all this, I slipped quietly away. I wandered off toward the well, trying as only a small boy to understand why our lives were in such turmoil. And boy, did I ever become the little pig that had big ears after that.